When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, guys, you're always asking me what kind of athletic apparel I am wearing. Well, I'm going to tell you where I get it because the brands run the gamut. I get it online at a place called Carbon 38. They are the bomb, the absolute best for fashionable, high-performance women's activewear. Carbon 38 partners with fitness professionals to wear, test, and model all their apparel because their mission is to empower women to live their healthiest lives so you look and feel amazing. Go to carbon38.com/Jillian to receive 15% off your first purchase. And when I say they have all the cool brands, I mean they have all the cool brands. So go now and check it out. You will not regret it. You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. Now, Jillian Michaels. I'm all loaded up on crap that I need to get off my chest.
Okay, go.
In our sessions this week. Our sessions! Like therapy! They're sessions! I want to talk about something that's very politically incorrect.
Okay, can we welcome people to the show first?
Oh, I thought you do that before the show starts.
I do, kind. I go, and here's Jillian Michaels.
I thought you do your whole spiel.
No, I don't go, hey, everybody! But sometimes it's nice to say... You're just on a roll. You're on a roll. Okay. Okay, now you can say, I want to talk about something completely politically incorrect.
I want to talk about something completely politically incorrect, okay. Which is outrageous that it would have to be politically incorrect. I want to talk about the importance of fathers. I'm so sick and tired of not being able to say how important that is. And it's funny because you offend so many people when you say that because they feel less than if there's not a father in the household. And that's just a shame on so many different levels. And one of the things that I really have wanted to talk about and I've had to be so careful about is like, oh, what are the challenges of parenting as a gay couple? And it's not the challenge of parenting as a gay couple per se because single mothers, right?
Right.
There are a lot of people. My parents were straight and I don't have a great father figure. You know, I mean, it has nothing to do with being gay, but it's just become really like nobody wants. Oh, but all that matters is that the child has love. That's kind of bullshit. I'm sorry. It's kind of BS. You know, it's important, I think, to have a strong patriarchal figure, a strong male figure. And I would bet you that any therapist would say, you know, yeah, it's important to have a male figure that you can project on and to build in that sort of internal dialogue of self-worth and for boy children to have male role models and for female children to have male role models. And it's like, you know, we've been very lucky because Giancarlo has been that to our kids and my brother is now stepping up into that role even though he's very young. You know, he's only 25 or 6. How old is that kid?
But I've seen the kids. I've seen the kids respond to Greg and they love him. They adore him.
They do. And... You know, it's, and let me tell you, the minute my son gets around G is all that he wants. Giancarlo.
Yeah.
And my brother too now. But he just wants to be around Giancarlo. And he wants to go to the men's room. He does. And I, you know, it's he wants to pee in a urinal. And it's like he just wants to talk to G. And he looks at G and he's like, is this what I'm going to look like? You know, is this, is this like, because he's a little hairy sucker. He's half Latin, right? He's a little furball. And, you know, G's hairy. And, you know, and he's like, am I going to look like Uncle G? And it's just, I think it's like, we got to stop with the PC and the bull and the lying and just say, you know what? It is important. It's so important. And, you know, if you don't have it, it's okay. Your kid's going to be okay. But I think it's okay to also say it's a shame and allow them to be sad about it.
I remember on the tour bus, and one of the most precious moments, I remember, and this was when Phoenix was even a littler guffer than he is, was when, you know, when G would take him into that, remember that bathroom the size of this chair?
Yes, and teach him how to pee standing up.
And teach him how to pee standing up. And I used to just, I don't know why, it just touched me so much to see, he would hold G's hand, and they'd walk into this tiny broom closet.
John Girl is going to jail, by the way, after this segment.
No, hold on. I just realized how that sounded.
They'd walk into the bathroom and hold their penises together.
No, it was just... Oh, God. But it was so touching to see, because he was just like this little... Because it was different. It's not like...
Yeah.
It wasn't like his mummy's parts. It was a different part.
No, and it was, he, you know, very... seriously, like, he's also curious. He even said, gee, can I see your wiener? And Giancarlo was like, no! But he wants to know, like, what's this going to look like when I'm growing up? And I don't know how to handle that one quite yet, you know, but he doesn't, you know, because you imagine a three-year-old boy would probably, you know, see his dad pee, you know, and he hasn't seen Giancarlo pee, but it's like, it just, you know, I don't know. I just think as a boy, it is important for boys to have a strong role model, and it's sad when they don't. And yes, they'll be fine. And yes, a lot of my friends are heterosexual females, and two of my dearest friends are single moms. And one has a little girl and one has a little boy. And my friend Cynthia, her son Lyric, he's 12 now, and he's one of the most amazing kids, I'll have you know. Like, I literally every time I'm around Lyric, I'm like, this boy is special. And she has loved the crap out of him. And she has been everything to this kid, and he is a good, solid kid. Mm-hmm. But don't think for a second that he's not sad about the fact that his dad is limited and not around and has issues of his own. He is. And this is where I think we need to stop pretending like, oh, no, it's fine. Love is enough. Love is enough. And just say, what a sad shame.
But I do know, and I've seen the value of them hanging. Oh, so yeah. I completely understand.
Even for Lou, though. Even for
Lou, too.
For her self-worth of, like, having that male that adores her is so... I mean, and I adore her, but, like... You know, seeing her light up, you know, when Giancarlo talks to her, holds her, plays with her, or my brother, same thing. It's like, I wish we could just be honest. I really do. I'm done lying about this. It makes me so sad.
You've never lied about it.
And by the way, you know,
Well, I know that what's tough for you, and why it's probably more of a kind of an epiphany, is because you didn't have that.
Right.
And you're
seeing... And it's not a gay thing. That's what I'm
saying.
And
it's not a gay...
It's not a gay thing. Straight people, single moms, I know many heterosexual people that had crappy dads. You know, it's a bummer. And I think, but also, I don't know that we send enough positive messages to dads. It's always mom, 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 mom. And I just think if we let men know how needed they are, I think it will start helping. If we really do say, and it's just, how often do we talk about dad?
Yep.
How often? We need to let these men know how needed they are. I think men feel, a lot of the men friends I have, feel like they're on the outside of their own family. Like they're not really needed. And like they're just there to earn money. Mm-hmm. And it makes them feel discouraged. And, you know, again, I'm speaking just in my own small experiences. But I just think... This one's for dads,
but that's just
here's to all the good dads out there and the good moms. But
and I can guess to venture that you miss that.
Hell yeah, hell yes. When Heidi talks about her dad and how amazing he was and how much she loves him and how he used to play. I just look at her like flabbergasted.
It's like, what? You mean that happened?
I'm like,
really?
You weren't uncomfortable around him? You didn't, like, really? He didn't freak you out? Or you weren't, you didn't, like, ugh. I just, so hard for me to even understand.
I'm going to find, you know what? I think I'm going to make that my mission. I'm going to find you a nice father figure.
I have my shrink. That's what my shrink is for.
Really?
Hell yeah. I have that projection on my shrink.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's, and I, you know, and I talk to him like that. He's older than me, and that's how I talk to my shrink. And, you know, and I, it's like, I'll tell you, it really, having a male therapist really helped me, like, heal a lot of that stuff.
I bet.
You know, but this is where I think we need to be able to say, like, we shouldn't deny it. In healing it, it's talking about how sad you are you didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. So that's it. I'm done playing this freaking game. Dads are important. And if you don't have one, don't feel bad. If you weren't able to provide one for your kid, don't feel guilty. But acknowledge it and let it be a bummer. Because it is. And see if there's some good, strong men in your life that can help step in from time to time. Because I think that's all it takes. All right, if you've ever wanted to create an awesome website, try Weebly. It's so easy, it will blow your mind. Weebly was created for people with the courage to start their own business, the kind of people that dream to be their own boss. You don't need to be a web designer. You don't know how to code to create a beautiful website. You just go to Weebly.com, whether you want an online store, whether you want a blog. We're all so impressed with the wide variety of professionally designed mobile-friendly themes to choose from. You simply drag and drop to quickly build and publish your site. It is that easy. You can customize, update, and change your site at any time you want to on any device. So join over 30 million people who are already using Weebly. Dream big. Get started today for free at Weebly.com/Jillian. That's Weebly, Weebly.com/Jillian.
I'm ready for Jillian to tell her story. I am ready for you.
It's not funny, Manus. You're going to need to make it kind of funny.
Oh, why? You've been a little bit serious. You know what I've noticed here on the Jillian Michaels show?
I know.
You've had a few more than normal serious moments.
Eating away from the microphone.
I just want to make sure that you're okay.
I am, but I keep discovering these, like, significant things or
epiphanies.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. No, epiphanies are good.
Or they're pretty obvious, but they keep coming up.
Okay.
And I'm like, I should talk about that. So listen to this. My publicist, right, we're in the throes of, like, constantly promoting just Jillian. And everybody's out there pushing, and we get no's at various places. And admittedly, like, sometimes we get a no, and I'm like, why would we get a no from this particular place? Like, people develop these weird things against you. And, like, this one I still don't know. I've done the talk, I don't know, maybe three times, can't remember. Every time I've done the talk, I've been nothing but gracious, lovely, grateful. They will not have me on. No idea why. None of us can figure it out. We just move on. So now, there's another one, right? Another outlet that shall remain nameless right now, that just won't have me on, and no one can figure out why. A friend of mine is a publicist who I used to work with, not my publicist now, and she ends up telling me, right? She goes, hey, listen, you know, you have to patch things up over there. And I was like, why? And I've been on the show a bunch of times, but nothing but lovely. And I was like, why would I have to patch things up? What are you talking about? And she goes, well, apparently.
Oh, God, that's the worst way to start a sentence.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Apparently. Right? Ugh. Apparently, they asked you to do a fitness segment. And you said no, and now that you want something from them, it's payback time.
Oh, ugh.
Right? So I was like, wait a minute. What? And of course, nothing goes right to me. Requests don't go to me. They go to my, quote, people, my publicists, right? So I called Giancarlo and I was like, hey, I just heard this. What the hell is she talking about? What do we say no to? And he's like, oh yeah, they wanted you to do a fitness segment to launch Just Jillian. And we all said no, because right now people don't know what Just Jillian is. And the concern is that if we do a fitness segment, they're going to think it's a fitness show.
Oh, okay.
That so we said, sense. You know, no, we don't want to do that. Well, you know, this producer now at this show has it in for me, has taken it on personally. And the thing is, you realize, so there's a woman in the world that doesn't like me and is going to teach me a lesson and is mad and feels personally snubbed. And how dare I? But the bottom line is, ready? I don't even, A, know who this woman is. I've never met her. She doesn't exist in my reality. Somebody is mad and feels personally snubbed by me. I don't even know, A, what she's talking about, B, or who she is. So this brings me to this conclusion. Use your words. People are not mind readers. What is the benefit of that? Like, even with my daughter, the other day, she's just been just, oh my God, just antagonizing the hell out of my son. And, you know, he's like, don't throw that out. She'll throw it out. Please don't touch me. She'll, you know, antagonize him. And I'm like, Lou, what are you doing? You're the one that's getting in trouble. Every time you do this, you're the one that gets the time out. You're the one that loses your treat. What are you doing? And she's like, well, I'm, you know, I don't like it when he takes my toys. I'm like, but he's not taking your toys right now. But she's like storing it up and then mad or jealous of him and then antagonizing him. And I'm like, Mama, use your words. When something like this is happening, tell us what's happening. We usually police it. And by the way, you're a foot taller than him. If he takes your toy, take it back. But I think we're so busy, like, being mad and holding grudges and presuming that people will know what we need or what we're going through, and they don't.
No, it's true.
Use your words.
What I'm intrigued, though, to ask you is, why does this person who has got some kind of burr up her ass,
right?
Does she have that much power? Like, she's giving her a lot of power, aren't you?
She's the executive producer of this particular media
thing.
Outlet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was just something that they were trying to book me on. And as we sort of go out to, like, oh, Rachel Ray, you know, all these different places, then it's like, well, this place, you know,
this
channel
effect.
Won't follow that channel, so you got to do this one first, or these guys won't have you on. Like, Ellen DeGeneres will not have me on. She will not have me on. In the entire time I've been a public figure, she's had Allison Sweeney on a million times. She's had Bob on a million times. She's had me on one time. The time she had me on, I went on the show. I was like, oh my God, I'm a huge, huge fan of yours. You're awesome. I've been a fan for years. Did the segment. Never had me back. No idea.
Have you ever? I mean,
no idea. And that's not the one I'm talking about. But my point is, like, I must have done something. I mean, no idea what it is. So the talk. No idea. Couldn't tell you. Could not tell you. Now, it's not to say, you know, I did the Today Show, I did Dr. Oz, I did Rachel Ray, I did Meredith Vieira. I'm hopefully going to do the real. Like, we're doing all these different things. But my point is just, yeah, there's this one particular outlet that you think would support the show for particular reasons, and they haven't, and no one could figure it out. And then a friend of mine told me that, oh, this is, you know, you didn't do a... And it's like, oh, use your words.
But Jillian,
go to my people and say,
no.
You know what we feel.
How about you?
Game.
How about you use your words?
How about you?
You call her up and say, hey, it's Jillian. Why can't we, instead of your people, maybe that's it. Maybe there's this buffer.
Because here's the, it's a little more complicated than that.
Of course it is, but I'd like to make things easy.
Well, the reason it's a little more complicated, it involves, okay. So the reason it's a little more complicated is because if it's at all perceived, like I'm trying to force myself down this woman's throat, it could cause other problems for me in other areas.
Okay. God, this business you're in is so complicated.
And I just was like, you know what? Let's let it go. Let's move on. You know, let's like, we don't need to, you know, but in that particular instance, I was like, you know, and by the way, my publicist was like, you realize this makes no sense. We pass on things all the time for other people. They don't get blacklisted from the show. I'm like, dude, I hear you. I'm like, but this is what came from inside. And I was just on the show a year and a half ago and sent flowers. Thanks for having me. So I don't know what else, you know.
Do you completely trust this person that's giving you the information?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do completely, okay. Yeah. And it makes what's going on make sense. But the bottom line is, I guess all I'm trying to say is, you may be mad at somebody or hurt.
Yeah.
And they probably have no idea.
I know. That you're
no absolutely- idea. And yeah. You know what? I did the same thing to Andy once. She got married and she got pregnant and, you know, we never heard from her again. We just never heard from her again. And I was like, you know, and then finally, like, even with a group of my friends, I was like, you know what? I always make the plans and I'm always the one that has to get us together. And if I don't get us together, we'll never see each other again. And we went through this whole thing and I finally did say something, but it was after years of being upset about it, right. Years. And my so friends were like, are you serious?
Yeah.
You've been harboring this for this long? Because I was like, well, if you knew me and you loved me, you would care or you would figure it out or you would know. And that's not the way people work. My friend, you know, one of my friends was like, well, I never want to make the plans because I'm always afraid you're not going to be happy with the plans I make because you're so particular. Another one of my friends was like, Jesus, Jill, I thought it was like Andy was your number one, so we all waited to hear from you. Like, we had just, you know, all of a yeah. sudden it all starts flowing out about, I thought this or I thought that or I didn't know or I felt this or that. You know, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that whatever you might be harboring, you know, it's very likely that people don't even have a clue.
And isn't that's the basis, not the basis, but resentment.
Yes.
It's always fueled in, I shouldn't say it's always fueled. I'm trying to make a very blanket statement and it's not a blanket statement, but resentment sits and rots.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. It's like, they don't know, and that's
they
why
don't.
I say I wish you could reach out to the and I don't want to, I know you don't want to open
know.
A can of worms,
I happen to think there might be something else going on with this woman. Maybe she's the new executive producer because it doesn't really make sense. I'm like, what's wrong with you that your ego is that fragile that if someone doesn't do exactly what you need like that yeah, I do kind of look
stinks.
At that and go, there's something wrong with her.
Yeah
that's then I'm like, all right, this person is. Clearly got deeper issues and maybe I don't need to tangle with, you know? I'm like, there's a million outlets out there.
Yeah.
God bless it. You know, God bless. So, you know, and people are intense. You know, it's like, you know, you'll be on the way we say you'll be on. That's when I go, no.
Okay, night.
Yeah. That is when I'm like, that's... My publicist was like, that's outrageous if that's the case. I'm like, that's what I'm told is the case. And that's what I think you're running up against. And that is when I kind of am like, that's a little scary. Maybe I don't need to. Maybe I'll just be like, you win and I, you know, you got me. Can't use your. I needed you to help me promote my show. And, you know, you taught me. God bless. You're the winner. Because sometimes I just feel like letting people win. Otherwise, they keep going, you know.
I do.
But if it's friends, and I've been guilty of it. I see my daughter being guilty of it. And if it's something, a relationship worth salvaging.
Exactly.
Say something.
Say something.
People aren't mind readers.
Oh.
Use your words.
Yes.
Janice?
Yes?
We've talked about this before.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but people keep asking me. Throw that away, old girl.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, but oh, yeah. You dropped. I threw a bottle cap at Manus.
It bounced off my padded brassiere. Did you see how
box of bras.
Box of bras.
Yeah, box of bras.
It bounced out.
Yep, kaboom.
That was almost...
I like
you could
it.
Have scored on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. We've
okay.
talked about it before.
Food timing. Why do I keep getting asked about this?
Because
oh my God.
We are afraid to eat at certain times,
stupid.
Thinking it's just going to sit in our guts
no.
and just turn our asses
not
into ginormous.
True.
Well,
and now there's some sort of bull crap fasting 5-2-8-4 something diet.
Yeah, remember the gal? We had talked to the gal in the car, and she was frozen.
Yes.
Remember?
She was in her car. Yes. All right. So first of all, I want to get into this right now. And this also includes, by the way, I'm so sick of this question, not from you guys, but from like journalists. You don't need to eat around your workout. What should I eat before a workout? What should I eat after a workout? You should not eat around your workout. One thing has nothing to do with the other, unless you're a bodybuilder. And then the answer is really simple. Eat all the time.
Really?
Yes.
And eat all the
time. Yes, eat all the time.
Okay.
Like, you don't need. I mean, like, in theory, it's just, I got to eat this. I mean, the rules are the same no matter what. Okay. It doesn't, okay, ready? Eat every 3 to 4 hours. The reason for this is because it stabilizes blood sugar and it keeps you from overeating. Okay, so here's the golden rule. The reason we don't eat small meals throughout the day, or the reason we don't skip a meal, or the reason we don't get into fasting and all that crap is because theoretically it can cause you to overeat. But first, let me preface by saying, if I put Janice on 1,800 calories a day and I gave it to you in one meal, I gave it to you in 10 meals, I gave it to you every 4 hours, nothing would change. Nothing. Zero. It doesn't matter when you eat the calories.
If I sat down and ate a big old honkin' 1,800 calorie meal.
And nothing in that rest of that 24 hour period.
Don't you? Really?
Yes. Study after study after study after study. Energy is energy. It doesn't matter. Here's why it matters.
Okay.
Because the timing of when you consume your calories can affect how many calories you consume. So, if you skip meals, in theory, when you do eat, you'll be hungrier.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
It. Overeating. Don't eat before bed. Well, in theory, you've already had breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, and you're eating again. More calories. Not the timing of the calories. No. No. Eating throughout the day. Okay. Well, what happens when we eat throughout the day is we tend to lose track of the calories. And because insulin is always surging, it's not an ideal scenario for weight loss because we never go into our post-absorptive phase. If we have constant, steady stream of blood sugar, it is harder to burn fat. But it also causes us to graze. We lose track of how much we've eaten, and we feel like we've never had a meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then we end up overeating. That's all. Period. End of story. So in theory, studies will show us, not necessarily in theory, but studies have shown us, then when we eat every 3 to 4 hours, it is ideal for calorie control, controlling how much food we eat. So, and the reason for that is because we're stabilizing our blood sugar. We eat, we have, you know, a nice steady stream of blood sugar. We go into a post-absorptive phase. We eat again. And then every 3 to 4 hours, right? Now, with that said, when it comes to eating around workouts, what do I eat? None of that freaking matters. The quality of your food should be good quality with a nice mix of healthy fats, healthy carbs, and healthy proteins, whether you're working out or not. So the answer to your post-workout or the answer to your pre-workout is the answer for overall health. Carbs for energy, amino acids to replenish after the workout, you know, healthy fats for healing and brain function. And the answer's the same. I can't.
Well, I must admit,
same.
When we were on tour, and we did how many tours? We did like 3 marathon tours, and there was times where there just wasn't time. We weren't in a hotel, we were on the bus, and we just none of us could work out.
Yeah.
And what amazed me is how you, but the thing is you're so in sync with your body, but how you could go through 2 months working out maybe a handful of times because there just was no time.
I know.
But your body maintained. And so that's why.
Food.
It's the food.
That's how you eat. Yes.
But you see, someone would look at you and go, I want her body. And then they want to know exactly what you eat. Thinking that if I follow exactly what Jillian Michaels eats, I'm going to have her body.
Look at the table. What do we have on the table right now?
Well,
Lucky Jack, popcorn.
I mean, we each have.
I ate a cheese sandwich earlier.
I think you inhaled a cheese sandwich.
I know. But the thing is, because you won't allow me to eat anymore.
No, I'm
so I have
the rules.
In between breaks. But I eat good quality food and I control my calories. It's that easy. It's that easy. It's all you need to worry about. Don't worry about anything else.
Okay, simple. But I still have one more question about this.
Yes, Manus.
If I ate my 1800, which would be like a turkey dinner, right? That would be like a Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. 1800, what is that? That's about 1800.
It's a lot. One meal's a lot of calories. It's probably a meal at McDonald's.
Okay. If I ate that.
It's probably a Big Mac.
Large fries and large soda.
Large fries and a Coke, yeah.
Okay, so if I ate that before bed, there's going to be a difference between me eating that at 10 o'clock at night and me eating that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
The only difference, and I mean the only difference, would be...
I'm plugged up.
No. The sugar, right before you go to sleep, insulin and human growth hormone act in a check and balance. Insulin depresses your human growth hormone levels, which is why I'm always like, well, you know, if you're really looking to get crazy with it, take out high glycemic index foods right before bed. So like sugars and processed carbs, right? Simple carbs, white flour, white sugar, bad stuff like that. Because then it drives HGH levels down. But other than that, no, man. It's because think about it. You might store those calories, but all day long when you're not eating, then you're just going back into them again. They've studied it.
Okay. All right.
Unless you're a bodybuilder, in which case, again, you just eat every 2 I.E. Don't stop eating. Yeah. Audible is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook. Just go to audible.com/exercise and browse over 180,000 audio programs, download a title free, and start listening. It is that easy. That's audible.com/exercise to get started today. Did I happen to mention? I'll say it again. They have 180,000 audio programs, guys. Audiobooks, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. Here's a good one. Steve Jobs, The Autobiography by Walter Isaacson. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Get a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook by signing up today at www.audible.com/exercise.
Okay, we're going to dip into the Jillian Michaels email bag today. This letter comes from Andrea. Hi there. I was just introduced to your podcast, and all I can say is addictive.
Thank you.
I listen to them all day at work.
Smart.
I'm a very healthy eater. I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma a little over 2 years ago, but I am cancer-free now.
Yay!
I am 38 years of age. I'm about 131 pounds and 5'8".
Oh, wow, Finn.
Yeah. I am listening to your podcast, The Love Doctor, and you are talking about alcohol, my weakness.
Well, wait a sec. What does that have to do with The Love Doctor?
Hang on. It's coming.
Oh.
I am not an alcoholic, but I love my wine and my tequila. I work out daily, but I'm having a hard time losing the love handles. My muffin top hangs over my pants, and I hate it. I'm very self-conscious about it. My husband and I share a bottle of wine for our dinner each night, which is about 2 glasses each. I like doing shots of tequila here and when we go out. Is this the reason why I cannot lose these love handles?
Yes.
I love my wine and don't want to give it up, but I don't want to be self-conscious either. Help.
Yeah. Alcohol's so bad for you. It is so bad for you, dude. Like, it just is. It's like, I remember talking to an endocrinologist, and just, it's like a massive contributor to breast cancer, ovarian cancer. It raises your estrogen levels up, and it's just bad. It's bad. It dampens the hell out of your fat metabolism because of the way it has to be processed by the liver. It ages the out of you. It dehydrates you. And, you know, I mean, for me, my role with it is 2 drinks a week. That's it.
Okay, Hank, now slow the roll here.
No.
I saw a particular episode.
Oh, my God.
Just
Do you know how that happened? Let me tell you how that happened.
Where I saw someone sipping tequila off of something.
Here's what happened. Listen to this. How ironic is this? We're three episodes into the show, okay?
Yeah.
And the show doesn't really find out what it is. Like, episode one is like, okay, you know, these are the players, right? And these are why we have, this is where we're living, and this is why we're living there, and these are the, you know, these are the people, and these are the relationships, and, you know, it's part demo reel, part pilot, part actual shooting of the series. It was just a hodgepodge of shenanigans. So it's a bit confusing, but it sets the stage.
Right.
Episode two is a bit like the struggle is real, right? Oh, the juggling act. And it's like kind of trying to tell you, a little overselling the message of the show.
Okay.
Episode three is a little too much like episode two. Great, funny, but the show doesn't really hit its stride until episode four. And then you get the tone of the show. And that's kind of the tone of the show from here on out. So my network executive, after seeing the rough cuts of episode one, two, and three, calls me. And he goes, Jillian, you know, E is all about fun. And I'm not saying a word. He's the nicest guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's like, E is all about fun. And I was like, uh-huh. And he goes, isn't your life fun? And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, and in my mind, I'm like, no. Right? I was like, so he's like, I mean, your life is fun, isn't it? And I was like, sure. But in my mind, I'm like, I have two small kids who drive me up a wall. I haven't slept in forever. I've got a gigantic company, not gigantic, but like a company with what feels like a million employees when it's just kind of you bringing in the money, Giancarlo and I. You know, it feels, honest to God, sometimes I feel like Atlas with the weight of the world on my shoulders. And, you know, it's not fun. My life's not, it hasn't been fun in a while.
Aww.
It hasn't been fun. It's just, it's been work.
Yeah.
A lot of work. A lot of responsibility. And I love my job and it has those moments. And I love my kids and it has those moments. But no, I haven't had fun in a gazillion years. So... it got me thinking, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like this is actually quite a sad state of affairs. Like my life isn't fun. It kind of hasn't been fun in a really long time. And so they're like, we want you guys to go do something fun. So Chloe was like, let's go out. When we're in Chicago, we'll have Kenta, we'll have Elle. And that's how the whole and the net. And I, oh my God, because I don't drink, I was destroyed.
I have to admit, when
and Giancarlo
I watched
was
you,
furious.
Oh, is he?
Well, because he
wanted to be there.
No. He was like, Jill, we really are here to work. You idiot. And he's like, no, all of you were drunk. And you know, because he's like, we're really here to work. And we couldn't necessarily break the fourth wall and be like, listen, the network was like, you're no fun. You know, and so. Which they made a really good point. We're no fun. And, oh my God, Janice, I was destroyed.
I have to admit.
Destroyed.
When Kent, I'm sorry.
I thought I was going to die. They gave me a Zofran in the car. I thought I was going to die. When the driver was like with the brake and the gas and the brake and the gas, I said to Giancarlo, I'm like, I'm going to throw up. He gave me a freaking chemotherapy pill for nausea. It was terrible.
Oh my God.
Horrible.
I peed my pants when I saw you sitting there and I just, and Mama hasn't had a drink in a long time, but you always remember the feeling. Always remember the feeling.
Horrible. The worst. I felt horrible.
But okay. So,
horrible.
But I never, you know what? I have never seen you. That's why I was so shocked. I'm
never.
Watching you going, Jillian?
No, I know.
Is that you?
Because the network was like, isn't your life fun? Flashback to pre-kids. That was me pre-kids.
Okay, so
but you have kids. Here's the problem. Have kids and wake up with kids feeling like that, you'll jump in front of a train. You will jump in front of a train.
It's impossible. You
can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot party anymore. You will literally wake up and, you know, it's 6 a.m. Like, even this morning, my son, liar, he's got this little owl that goes off, right, that says this is when you can get up and don't freaking breathe out loud until the owl turns
the
green.
Owl, oh.
So... sure enough, at 6 a.m, I owl scream, and it's set for 7, but he lies and thinks that I'm not going to know the owl's green. And I looked at Heidi and I was like, did you reset the owl? She's like, no. I was like, mute the monitor. My owl is green. And then if you don't get up, he sings because he knows we can hear him through his monitor. So he starts saying, "Hello from the other side." It's the worst. It's the freaking worst.
The owl's green.
My owl's green. Yeah. Try doing that hungover.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay,
no.
So to answer Andrew's question.
I think homegirl needs to cold turkey it. That's my new thing right now. I think she needs to go cold turkey to get a grip on it. And it's going to take at least a month.
Well, you know what? When you're when you're splitting a bottle of wine every night,
it's a crutch. It's like a gnarly habit. And so for me, and the more I drink, by the way, the more I want to drink. Once I start drinking, then it's like, oh, beer with, like last night, Heidi and I went for Mexican food. And I was like, God, a beer with the chips and salsa sounds so good. And I was like, no. But I stopped myself. But it's like, once you start that, then it's like, oh, a glass of red wine with this steak sounds so good. Oh my God, you know, tequila on the rocks. We're going out with our friend Justin and his boyfriend Austin tonight. And we're going to this place called Gracias Madre, which is like this organic kind of vegan Mexican spot. And it's like, tequila on the rocks sounds so good. You know, once you start it, it's harder to break.
Absolutely.
And so personally for me, I think she needs to cold turkey it, get a grip on it, get you control of it.
And if you know what it
I
is,
would.
It's romanticizing the booze. When you start romanticizing it, making
it's
like
easy
it's
to
part
do.
Of, you know, it's like, how can we have, and you start quite, how can we have dinner without it? You kind of, well, you can, but if it becomes part of the
That's when it becomes
thing.
That, I, that's when I'm like, oh, hell no. That's when I quit. Like when, you know, I haven't had sugar in like a year and 2 months. No one believes me. Sugar as in cake, cookies, ice cream, things like that. And my mother-in-law's cake balls, man, I ate like 16 of them in a 24-hour period.
And that did
two
it.
Christmases ago, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't good. This is way too powerful. I'm not going to do this. No. And it was, it took months to not have that craving, and I still do sometimes, but not every night. Not like the way I used to.
Yeah.
And when something has that kind of control over you, that's when I'm like, I think you need to reset the stage here a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would, honey, I would go on a, this is where I think the benefit of a cleanse, the psychology more so of a cleanse.
Yeah.
Get that out of there. Cleanse your mind, cleanse your behaviors, you know, detox your body from the addiction on a behavioral level from it. That's because, that is not good. That's Love Handle City, but it's also breast and ovarian cancer. Careful.
Yeah. All right.
Hello from the other side.
My owl's green.